And the Felix Do Salvation Army have been thinking about the holy habit of fellowship over the last few weeks. And it's in that moment, that spirit of fellowship, that we come together this evening to worship our God and to do that through music on this winter's evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Emma, and myself and my husband Mark, who's playing in the band over there, with Felix Do for the weekend. We did the YP service, the young people's service this morning, and it was a real privilege to be here this evening, not least because Ipswich Citadel was the Salvation Army that sent myself and my husband Mark into training college to be Salvation Army officers. So it's beautiful to see so many wonderful faces looking back at me, and beautiful faces at that, that have known us for a very, very, very long time. Mark more than me, to be fair. But still, there's a lot of history and a lot of stories that go back. And I'm really passionate about story. I'm really passionate about the way that when we hear somebody else's story, it enables us to learn something about them. And as we go through this evening, our hope is that through the music that we all get to share in that story, that God story of love, as we go through. We're going to share a prayer together, and then we're going to sing our first hymn, Praise Our Soul, the King of Heaven. If you'd like to stand, I'll say a prayer. And then we'll go straight in, band. Father, thank you so much that we are here this evening to worship you. Thank you that our souls really can praise you through music, through listening, through sharing our story with one another. And so, Father, at the beginning of this evening, we thank you that you are present with us. We thank you that it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that unites us. And as we continue through this evening, may we learn something of each other and go home having experienced something of your love in our own lives. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ben. Stay tuned. We'll sing our first song, Praise My Soul. Please take your seats and turn to the person next to you and tell them one good thing that's happened this week. It might be that you saw a bird for the first time in the garden for a little while. It might be that somebody smiled at you as you were walking down the street. Just turn to the person next to you. Tell them one good thing that happened today, this week. Fantastic. Thank you. So my good thing was yesterday I had the privilege of attending Ipswich Town Football Club's match against Burton. And they won 4-1. And we had our girls with us. So that was a very good thing. Because I was a little bit worried about how we were going to console, particularly our Esme, if Ipswich Town didn't win yesterday. So that was definitely my good thing. And I don't think my husband or my father-in-law would have ever anticipated me saying the good thing in the week was I went to a football match. So there we go. There is a God. So the songsters are going to sing to us, the combined songsters, and they are going to sing to us On the Rock. So before Mark and I went into training college, we lived in Ipswich, and I had the real privilege of working at Snake Maltin's Concert Hall for Aldbury Music, as they are now. And during that time, I worked with some juvenile offenders who were at the prison, which has gone from my head at this precise moment, Horsley Bay, but the juvenile part of that. And as part of that, we used to bring them out to help us with the festival once a year. And if any of you have been to the Aldbury Festival every Sunday, you could find the education department digging the stones on the beach for the cables in order to have our beach performance. And we'd brought some of our young lads from Warren Hill to come and help us one Sunday morning. And as we came down to the beach, literally at about 6:30 in the morning, one of the lads who was probably probably about 16, like 6'5", really big guy. And he stood next to me and my trainers, 5'0". And he suddenly got tears in his eyes. And I said, "What's up? Like, you know, this should be a good day. You're out for the day." And he said, "Em, I never realized the sky was so big." And just as the songsters were singing that song to me, it reminded me of that moment. Because so often in our life, it can feel like the sky's quite small, can't it? It can feel like there aren't those choices. But actually, when we know Jesus and we've got Jesus in our life, when we stand on that rock, suddenly that view is big. That view is massive, and we can see just how big the sky is. And he said to me, "If the sky is that big, then there's got to be hope for me yet." And I said, "At your age, there is definitely hope for you." And we had this amazing conversation about just how big the sky is. The band are going to bring a piece to us called "His Strength is Perfect." But first of all, Mark's going to bring the Bible reading to us.
So our reading tonight is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, and starts at verse 14. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
That's beautiful. Thank you. We're going to sing together. We're going to sing, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. We've just heard the band playing an arrangement of those words that our strength, his strength is perfect. And as we do that, then we do rest in that fullness of joy that comes with knowing Jesus. We'll sing it straight through, Ben. Thank you. Would you like to stand? Stretch your legs. God, we do have. The songsters are going to sing to us a song, I Know a Fount Where Sins Are Washed Away. And as you do, as you listen to this song, the melodies in it and the way that the harmonies work are just beautiful. The words are great as well, but if you just spend a moment just shutting your eyes and trying to paint a picture in your imagination as the songsters sing this beautiful melody to us, and really understand something of that presence of God as you listen to that music. And straight after that, we're going to take up the offering and listen to the announcements. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, once again, we have been given the opportunity to return something for the great love you show to us. So I just ask that as we have given in our offering, that you will receive it. And as always, we just ask that it will be used to extend your kingdom here in our town of Felixstowe. Hear and answer this prayer, we ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen. It's good to welcome all our friends from Ipswich Citadel, and we hope that you're enjoying the evening here. On behalf of Felixstowe Corps, can I say a big thank you to Mark and to Emma for leading our worship today. Although we're not going to pay as much because we did the sermon for you this morning. And if you're here this morning, we had to work hard and we had to listen to the sermon and we had to tell each other the sermon. So I think 2/3 of it, the cost is yours, right? But we thank you tonight for guiding our program through. For Felixstowe people, on the 1st of March is our altar service Sunday. And as you leave tonight, you'll see envelopes with your name on the table in the foyer. If you take them and fill them up and return them on that Sunday. Someone said to me this morning, they're going to give in the altar service envelope to buy that lady on the film a chain for a bicycle. Did you see it this morning? Poor lady on the film. I don't know if you had it at Ipswich, but she's throwing her bike about because the chain kept coming off. But, well, hope she gets a new chain. Thursday the 20th of February, which is next Thursday, is a red letter day for Felixstowe. It's the day that we find out who is coming to take charge of our corps. They can't be any worse than the ones we've got now. And I can say that with utter truth. But sometime on Thursday morning, I shall receive a call from whoever it is, and we shall know. But then, of course, the shine goes off because we know who they are, but we've got to wait until July until they come in. But it'll be good to know that somebody, that's if they don't change their minds after they found out about Felixstowe. Tea and coffee will be available in the community hall following our worship tonight. Please stay behind and have a good chat. This is our holy habit this month, is fellowship. And we want to have as much fellowship this month as possible. So let's make a good fellowship and a tea and coffee after the meeting. Thank you very much for listening.
One of the amazing privileges I get as part of my ministry in Mitcham is I get to spend some time with women who have left abusive partners. And one of the ladies that I was sharing with just very recently she's been away from the partner now for about 18 months. And she spoke about a time in her life when she had lots of people around her. As a couple, they used to go to lots of parties. They used to see lots of people all of the time. He had quite a high-flying job, so they had to go to lots of dinner parties. And she was around people a lot of the time. But she talked about this feeling of, amongst being with all of those people, she just felt so alone. She felt so isolated. And at this, there was one moment where she was sat at this dinner party and he'd given her the look that she knew things were going to be difficult for her for the rest of the day. And she said at that moment, she remembered a Bible verse that she'd heard when she was a child when she went to Sunday school. And that was in Psalm 139, where it says that God knows our inmost being. There's nowhere we can flee from his spirit. And she said to me she had no idea why at that moment it came to her. But in that moment, she experienced something of God that she'd not done since she was about 5 years old. And the band are going to play a piece to us now, which is entitled Alone But Not Alone. And I just wonder whether there's some people here who might be around a lot of people all of the time. And yet that sense of isolation, that sense of being alone, maybe fills their heart, fills their mind. And I just encourage you that if that is the case, to reach out to somebody, to reach out to somebody and share that isolation or share that loneliness, that might mean that you might be able to make a connection. And above all else, that we remember that in those moments, we're not alone because God is with us. Pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. We've got a wonderful lady in our gathered, in our core, in our church, in Mitcham. And Daphne has an amazing use of language. It's just beautiful to sometimes just sit and listen to the words that she uses. I don't understand half of them, if I'm honest, but she's amazing. And as a church community, as a gathered community, as a core, we decided to write our own prayer that we would pray at the end of our gathered service every Sunday. And she called us this amorphous group of Mitchamites. Anyone know what amorphous means? Any clever bots out there? Well, for those of you that didn't know, like I didn't know, amorphous is this kind of like this whole mixture of people that are different from each other and have different qualities and have different and a different essence. And she talks about us being this amorphous group of Mitchamites. And I was reminded when I was reading through this passage in Ephesians, and there's been words that have been either through the music that the band have played or through the songs that have sung tonight that have been talking about this, that the origins of the Salvation Army came about because of a dissatisfaction. Do you know that? The Salvation Army was a dissatisfied gathered group of people when it first started back in 1865. And Catherine and William and Booth were really frustrated with who was told they couldn't be in church. And so they set about to go and spend time with people that they felt the established church was telling them shouldn't be with them. But what they found was, when they were trying to do this, people were coming to know Jesus, and so they'd send them off to the different churches, and they were being rejected because they didn't look right, or they didn't sound right, or they didn't know how to behave. And so William and Catherine Booth started their own gathered congregations. They started the Salvation Army, moving it from the Christian mission. And do you know, this reading in Ephesians finds that the people in Ephesus found themselves in a pretty similar position. If you go back to Acts 19, it tells us of Paul, who started preaching in the synagogues. He started where the Jewish people were, telling them all about Jesus and Jesus' love. But the Jews didn't want him there. They didn't want to hear this message of inclusive love. They said, no, you're not telling us that the right people are in and the right people are out. And so Paul decided to go to the Greek lecture hall, where there would have been lots of different philosophers, lots of different people of the time. And Paul went there to tell the Gentiles about Jesus and to tell people that regardless of what their heritage was, regardless of what their tradition was, regardless of what their background was, Jesus wanted to know them and they wanted them to know Jesus. And so this letter that Paul writes to the Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus, is trying to say you might all be different. Some of you might have come from a heritage of the Jewish faith. Some of you might have known Yahweh all of your life and be able to recite all of the scriptures. Others of you might be brand new and have no idea what people are talking about when they talk about Yahweh or the Torah or these other things. But you are an amorphous group of Ephesians. You're an amorphous group who, with all your differences, all your challenges, all of the things that you might think we're never going to come together on, you are all followers of the way. You are all people who want to know Jesus and want to live your lives in a different way. And so this message of love, this inclusive message of love that Paul is saying is open to everybody, is the story and the words that we read about here in the book of Ephesians. And I know that sometimes today, followers of the way don't always live this out. I know sometimes I don't always live this out. Sometimes it's easy to exclude people. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, do you know what? You look different to me, or you believe different things to me. So therefore, how could we ever come together under the umbrella of knowing Jesus? But as with the Booths, we need to be people who call out that exclusion. We need to be people who recognize what that inclusive love of Jesus does for us as individuals and therefore does of the people around us. In chapter 3, Paul writes about the new mystery that was preached by him, that Jesus is for the Gentiles. And tonight we've thought so much about this all-encompassing love of Jesus, this fount that we can go to and we can experience that refreshment of knowing Jesus in our lives. We've sung about the faithfulness of God in our own lives, that even when times are really, really tough, we can say, what a faithful God have I. And so my challenge to myself and to all of us here this evening is, who are the Gentiles for? Who are the Gentiles for us today? Who are the people that are excluded in our society that actually Paul would be found with? Who are the Gentiles for us today? It's really important to feel heard, isn't it? Do you know the difference between when you've told someone how you feel and you kind of get a nod? And when you've told somebody how you feel and you feel like they just get it. They just know. I was recently with a group of mums, and we all have children with additional needs. And we were sat in this group, and I'd told a story that had happened just recently. And normally when I tell a story like that, everyone looks at me with these kind of pity eyes. But in this group, another mum went, "I've got one that beats that," and told another story. And then another mum said, "Well, I've got one that beats that," and told another story. And there was this beautiful mix of people who just got it on a different level. I felt heard. I felt like somebody had listened to what I was saying. In those final words, and those of you that are part of the Salvation Army, I'm sure at the beginning of the year, you thought about this idea of things being immeasurably more. God giving us immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Just think about that for a second. Immeasurably more. God wants to give us immeasurably more than all we can ever ask or imagine. It's in this amorphous group of followers of the way that we need to remember that God is much bigger than all we can ever dream or all we can ever imagine. There was a time when we were at Salvation Army Training College where things were a bit tough. It was in our first year, and Mark and I were starting to think, what on earth are we doing? And we get a phone call from Juliet and Peter Parker. I'm going to embarrass you both. And it was just at that moment. They said, we're coming down to London. We want Mark and Pete are going to go to the football to see Chelsea play. I think it was Chelsea. Yeah. And Juliet said, we're going to go into London, and we're going to have a nice little shop, and I'm going to take you out for lunch. And at that moment, we felt connected. We felt connected to other people who knew us, knew our story, whereas we were with a bunch of people that had only known us for 5 minutes. And there's something so powerful about people knowing us, people knowing our hearts, people knowing our minds. But you know what? We have to share it. We have to be willing to open our mouths sometimes and tell the person next to us what it is that's going on. Because then people can pray for us. It's at that point when, as followers of the way, God's all-encompassing arms come around us and somebody else can take the strain when we might be struggling. The songsters are going to sing a beautiful piece, "Somebody Prayed for Me." And I love this because actually there's times where we can't pray for ourselves, right? Or is that just me? There's times where it's really hard. It's really hard to even know what's going on in our minds, let alone find the words to pray. But the most beautiful thing about being part of a community, as the Ephesians were part of this amorphous group with all their differences, Paul brought them together under that message of love. And there's something so special about being part of a community of believers, part of this followers of the way, that means that somebody else can pray for us when we might be struggling. that you have given us one another. We thank you that when all we can see is darkness, there is somebody there to show us mercy. Lord, I also pray that we would be that person that can show mercy to those that feel like all they can see is darkness. We've only got to look at the press in the last 48 hours to know of the darkness that some people can feel and experience on a daily basis. Lord, may we be that face of mercy. May we be those people that can bring others into your presence and say what they can't. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're going to sing together again. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Well, we've seen the storm, haven't we, the last couple of weekends. And we had a tree go down not too far from us, which the girls thought was hilarious. I'm not sure the people's who lived in the houses opposite did, but they'd never seen a tree go down quite like that, I don't think. So let's stand together and we'll sing these verses straight through.
Thank you.
And it's in that power of Christ. Please take your seats. And the band are going to play to us a piece called Crown of Conquest. Coming to the end, and the songsters have just got one more piece to bring us before the benediction. And the piece talks about with wings as eagles. And the words come from a book in the Old Testament called Isaiah. And this part is where the Jewish people, the Israelites, have been exiled from their home. And everything's pretty tough for them at the time. And the verses say this: he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What beautiful words they are to remind us that in those times of difficulty, we have that faith, we have that belief, we have that trust that there is a different way, and that God will be that air under those, under our wings, as he is of the eagles.
Thank you.
this just leaves me with the opportunity to say thank you. Mark and I have loved being here with Felixstowe this morning and with Felixstowe and Ipswich this evening. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. I'm sure Mark is very thankful for playing in the band, something he doesn't get to do very often these days. And just to be with here, I also want to say thank you to Ewan back there on the tech, who has done an amazing job with the sound and the screens this evening. As we go from this place, our prayer is that we will all do that we will walk in the strength of God and we will know his presence in our lives. The songsters are going to lead us in a benediction.